We are going to have three speakers today. Sue F. from Indiana, USA, who has served as a Class B non-debtor trustee on the General Service Board. Sue will share on Tradition 4. Then we'll have Tom R. from Maryland, USA, who is a current Class B trustee on the GSB. Tom will speak on Tradition 5. And then Bill D. from California, USA, who is a current Class A trustee on the General Service Board, will speak on Tradition 6. After all three speakers have shared, we will open up for questions and comments. Please take note of any questions you might have, but hold them till the end of the call. So, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Sue F., who will share her experience on Tradition 4. Sue, you will have 15 minutes, and I will give you a two-minute warning. Sue, go ahead.
Thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I'm Sue F. I am a friend of DA, and I am honored to have been invited to share. It's been a few years since I rotated off of the board as a Class B non-debtor trustee, and I fell in love with DA on day one of attending your conference, and it's just really, I have chills just thinking about being back with you folks, and it's not just because it's 9 degrees here, but because because I just love DA and fell in love off the bat. So tradition 4 says that each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or DA as a whole. I think it's funny, we you know, people come in and it takes them a while to be able to say anonymous and anonymity, and then we throw in autonomous and people are like, huh? And autonomy simply means self-governing. So I have heard Tradition 4 be spoken of as like the trump card of the traditions. No matter what else is going on, we've got autonomy. We can make the decisions that we want to make. Well, it ain't so simple, folks. So how do we make decisions and self-govern? Well, we do that through business meetings, and these business meetings and decisions are based on a group conscience. Now, there's not a tradition out of the 12 that stands alone. They just don't. So we have to go back and take a look at Tradition 2. The ultimate authority is a loving God as expressed in our group conscience. So we go into a business meeting, a decision-making time, with prayerful and God-centered conscience. We also need to make sure that our group and the group conscience is fully informed. And part of being fully informed and making a consideration of a proposal includes its effect on other groups and DA as a whole. So here we are at our group conscience meeting considering what is best for the group, because the group comes first, common welfare and Tradition 1. Like I say, these traditions never stand alone. So, and due to Tradition 4, we also need to consider unselfishly the impact of our decision on the welfare of other groups and DA as a whole. Back to Tradition 1, our common welfare. So how do we determine if our actions are going to affect other groups or DA as a whole? Well, let me suggest that one way to do it is to review the proposal against all of the traditions. Yikes! I'm not going to do that here, but to give you an example, before we make a decision, is the group God-centered? Are we considering the greater good? Will this action in any way limit membership? Will this action create controversy or compromise anonymity? Will it put the program or the fellowship of DA in a negative light? Is this leaning toward promotion rather than attraction? And there's a big one in my experience, and that is, are we, in making this action, placing personalities before principles? So let's just assume that for the moment that we have passed the litmus test against the tradition. We're good to go. Not quite. Because not only do the traditions not stand alone, you know, we find that in the steps. We work one step and we go back to another, we go forward to another. It's a mishmash. Same thing with traditions. They flow one to another in good order. And we also have concepts that the same thing. They never stand alone. So we also have the ninth concept regarding leadership. Now, we talk about the information on leadership in our concepts talks about careful consideration of proposals, no matter who brings them. And at the same time, it cautions us about power drivers. Huh. I have seen, and I'll guarantee you some of the other folks on the call here have seen group conference meetings where suddenly a dozen people who have never attended a business meeting show up to support an idea that was being brought by their sponsor or by a friend or someone who's campaigning for a position in a group. And this is a good time to point out that there are no politics in AA, but we have some politicians. So we can have power drivers. And so we need to consider that. So when we are making a decision about whether the actions we're about to take are going to affect our group, other groups, or DA as a whole, do we have in place time for careful consideration of proposals, perhaps even delaying a decision for further discussion and reflection? I've seen a number of times where, let's hurry up, we want to go for coffee. Let's hurry up, I've got the babysitter waiting. Let's hurry up, there's some pressing matter here. So let's rush through this meeting. And so one of the things that's important is that we have in place adequate time, adequate processes for maybe never making a decision in one meeting, always putting it off, perhaps. This is, this, you know, put it off till the next meeting so that the power drivers will get tired and not show up, and we can make a decision really based on careful reflection, careful and considered reflection. And we're not talking about things like to serve decaf or not. You know, that's not the thing. What kind of cookies are we going to serve? You know, lemon or peanut butter? I prefer lemon, but that's just me. So we're talking about things like we have an idea for a wonderful piece of literature. I think we're gonna go ahead and publish it and distribute it here at our meeting. I've got to tell you, when I first was in my fellowship, I walked into a meeting, and, you know, brand new people, you know how we are. We walk in and we assume that everything there has been there forever and is exactly the way it's supposed to be. They had a vast array of literature at this one meeting I went to. They had these things called golden books, and we're not talking about little story books. We're talking about some other things. And they had a bunch of stuff by a particular author. They had some of the fellowship's literature as well. And it was a mishmash to me. And a couple things looked interesting, so I went ahead and bought them. Later on, I was asking a friend, well, what does this mean and what does that mean? And she said, well, where are you getting that from? And I showed her, and she said, well, that's not even fellowship stuff. That's outside. That's outside of the fellowship. And I'm like, oh. And then she taught me how to look for something that indicates that something is conference-approved literature. But I didn't know. I was a newcomer being led astray by a particular meeting, by a particular group. So that was their group conscience, to have a vast array of literature And I will tell you that it affected me personally. Was it for the welfare of the group? Well, their coffers were full. They were certainly making some extra funds off of the literature they were selling. However, at what cost? It misrepresented the fellowship. It misrepresented the steps. And so those are the kinds of things, those are the kinds of decisions we're talking about. Lemon or peanut butter, you know my vote. Decaf or not, that's okay, I'll bring my soda pop. But the bigger decisions about things that could affect other groups or DA as a whole need careful, God-centered consideration, applying them against the traditions, taking into consideration good leadership and proper methods of selecting them in order to reach a healthy group conscience and to remain autonomous. Michaeleen, thank you again for inviting me to share. And I know I didn't take up my time. We'll leave the extra time for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. I would now like to introduce our second speaker, Tom R., who will share on Tradition 5. Tom, you will also have 15 minutes, and I will also give you a two-minute warning. So without much further ado, thank you, Tom, and go right ahead. Make sure you're unmuted. There you are.
Thank you. My name is Tom, and I'm a friend of DA. I currently serve as a Class B non-debtor trustee. I have been asked to share on Debtors Anonymous's Tradition 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the debtor who still suffers. In the 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 12 concepts of Debtors Anonymous, it states, quote, the fifth tradition is unambiguous. The message carried by our groups is that there is another way to live. That way is the 12 steps of Debtors Anonymous. Every Debtors Anonymous group exists to carry DA's message of hope and recovery to any individual who desires to be liberated from debting. We use every opportunity in our group meetings to share that we have found a spiritual solution to our common problem, and that by living the solution, we have ceased incurring new unsecured debt and freed ourselves to move forward toward the lives we desire. We also make clear that this solution is available to anyone who comes seeking it, end quote. The Debtors Anonymous traditions are mirrored from the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have heard that the traditions were hammered out on the anvils of experience. I would like to share some of my own experience in Tradition 5 through my recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous. My sobriety date is April 18, 1997. I learned through my sponsor and other friends in the program, that there's a rich history of the traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous in a book called Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age. In the book, Bill W. writes, quote, we think we should do one thing well rather than many things in which we are not called. This is the central idea of this tradition, referring to Tradition 5. Our society gathers in unity around this concept. The very life of our fellowship requires its preservation. Shoemaker, stick to thy last, is no dull cliche for Alcoholics Anonymous. Together, we have found a substantial remedy for a terrible malady. It is our experience as alcoholics that makes us of unique value on our sector of the total alcoholic front. We can approach sufferers as no one else can. Therefore, the strongest kind of moral and ethical compulsion is upon us to do this and nothing more. Most emphatically, then, AA has but one single purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. That is our basic objective, our real reason for existence, end quote. I am not a first-nighter in recovery. I initially came around the rooms of AA after a series of legal interventions got my attention and did not drink for a brief period of time. I had never at that time given up my right to drink. As my sponsor tells me, I held on to the reservation that I could drink safely. After 2 more years of, quote, research, end quote, and controlled drinking, It took yet another legal intervention to get my attention. At that moment, I was terrified I would drink again, and soon, if I did not do something immediately. I knew this from my past history. I felt a tiny ray of hope, knowing that AA was there. As I attended my first meeting the following day, I felt for the first time in my life that sense of hope that things are going to be okay. When I returned to my home group the following Monday, I saw the familiar faces of the people who were still there and still sober. I felt at home for the first time in my life. That night, as fellow AAs put out their hands to welcome me, I felt an extreme sense of relief and gratitude. Although some members had left the area or passed away in my absence, and some new members had joined, the group was still there. The program was still there, and the message of recovery had not changed. It was exactly what I, a suffering alcoholic, needed. It's reassuring to know that I can walk into a meeting of AA and hear the experience, strength, and hope of another recovering alcoholic. As a recovering alcoholic, I feel it is my responsibility as well to be in my home group or in any meeting of AA to carry the message of recovery and put out my hand to the new person. I want to be there and my home group to be there for the next suffering alcoholic. The pamphlet, AA at a Glance, includes a section, quote, what AA does not do, unquote, which indicates that, quote, AA does not provide housing, food, clothing, jobs, money, or other welfare or social services, provide domestic or vocational counseling, provide letters of reference to parole boards, lawyers, court officials, social agencies, employers, etc., end quote. My first sponsor reminded me of this the first time I asked him for a loan. I'm surely not qualified to perform any of these services. The literature states our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. The pamphlet further suggests sobriety is maintained through sharing experience, strength, and hope at group meetings and through the suggested 12 steps for recovery from alcoholism. That keeps it simple for me. Further, in the 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 12 concepts of Debtors Anonymous, the text speaks to DA's primary purpose. Quote, we focus on how we recover through the steps and tools and how we use the traditions in all our affairs, rather than dwell on personalities, controversy, socializing, or a long litany of complaints. It is vital that we communicate our experience, strength, and hope. Certainly, we may be experiencing difficulties, and we know that honesty is essential to recovery. However, to find hope, the new human needs to hear it about more than our problems. I love that. All members benefit when we balance sharing about our challenges with sharing our spiritual solutions and positive actions, end quote. An excellent example of DA singleness of purpose is given with reference to conference-approved literature. Quote, DA experience indicates that displaying books and pamphlets other than those approved by DA World Service Conference is inconsistent with and detrimental to our primary purpose. We have found that promoting outside literature clouds the DA message of how we recovered and of what DA recovery is. In contrast, conference-approved literature consistently presents the group conscience of the fellowship as a whole on what recovery means and how it can be maintained. End quote. By keeping to our primary purpose, we stay focused on our as priority. Thank you for this opportunity to be of service.
Well, thank you, Tom. Next, we're going to have lots of time today for questions, so get your questions ready. Next, we will have Bill D. share on Tradition 6. Bill, you will have 15 minutes, and I will give you a two-minute warning. Thank you, Bill. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Bill. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. My name is Bill D., and I've been a member of Debtors Anonymous since April of 1991. And I have worked a perfectly imperfect program in that amount of time. I'm going to talk today about Tradition 6. And Tradition 6 says, a DA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the DA name to any related facility or outside enterprise lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. So that phrase, divert us from our primary purpose, is really, really important, because that's the reason why we avoid endorsing, financing, really even associating our name with any related facility or outside enterprise. And as members of DA, I think we know better perhaps than anyone the type of bickering, infighting, and general divisiveness when money, property, or prestige is at stake. So outside of DA, I know that the families have been torn apart by arguments over money, property, or prestige. And inside DA, that can be an issue as well. The Tradition 6 says recovery brings sanity and serenity, but it does not make us perfect. Although a misstep or a faltering in our own recovery will not sink the group, the group's aligning itself with an outside cause or organization would be far too likely to divert the group from DA's primary purpose, undermine unity, and even threaten the existence of the group. So when I was just a very, very newcomer in DA, I knew nothing about 12-step programs. I knew nothing about Debtors Anonymous. The only thing I knew was that there were 12 steps, and I had no idea what they are until I started getting into meetings and hearing them. So like most of us who come into DA, I came in because I had a problem with unsecured debt, and I was getting calls from all kinds of not very nice people saying, hey, give us the money. And one of the things that I was told early on in recovery was that there was this group, it was an outside group outside of Debtors Anonymous, and they can help debtors. You know, they can help talk to your creditors for you, make payments, etc. And I thought to myself, wow, that's really great, because then I myself will not have to take responsibility for what I've done in the past. I can let somebody else do it. And at that point, clarity was a real difficult issue for me. So for me, and I hadn't had a PRG yet, so I didn't really know just how much money I could put into, paying off my debts. So I went to this organization and asked them to help me, and they said that they would. And I realized after a few months that it was not tenable for my recovery. And what I realized was that I had taken the advice of someone in DA, or several people, excuse me, in DA, who said, hey, this place, this business is a good idea. And then later on, I realized that there's a reason why we would not endorse a business like this, because it doesn't follow the principles of diverted me from my primary purpose, which is to see what my spending record was and then what my spending plan could be. And that organization actually does endorse Debtors Anonymous. So there are a lot of newspaper articles, groups, TV shows, and all that kind of stuff will say, hey, go to Debtors Anonymous. This is a really great outfit to help you. But it's not reciprocal. So we can't then say, hey, you guys helped us, we're going to recommend you as well, or we're going to send people to you. Because as it says in our book, clarity is one of our watchwords, and we maintain a commitment to our primary purpose in part by being very clear about non-affiliation. And one of the things that that is mentioned a lot in PRGs is, if you're going to spend, and I heard a speaker this morning say it at my home meeting, if I'm going to spend over X amount of dollars, I'm going to get three different estimates for that. Because a lot of times we'll say, oh, let me just go to the person who gives us the best deal. You know, and then we always want to make sure that we're acting out of clarity and not somebody who's saying, like, or this is my case, like, oh, I know you and you're not doing too well with money or something like that, and if you could, like, mention me to your friends, then I can give them a good deal as well. I also hear people in my meetings sometimes talking about, you know, the recovery that they have gotten in previous 12-step programs. And while I understand how essential that is, a lot of times we want to come in and say, hey, I've got recovery already, so I'm not just a newcomer here. I think that we always are newcomers in DA and newcomers to the DA steps and traditions. And I know I want to have my ego, you know, I want my prestige to be able to say, you know, I've done this program for umpteen years, so I kind of know what I'm doing. But I have to be able to just be a beginner in any type of situation. Another thing that I wanted to talk about today is, and this is something that's come up recently as well in discussions I've had with other board members, is the issue of fundraising. And it says in our book, in one area, groups decided to work together to put on a to be a non-DA speaker. The proceeds of the event would be used to send the representative to the conference. And ultimately, some, well, let's say level heads prevailed, and that did not become a fundraiser. So that would be Debtors Anonymous endorsing another type of, you know, kind of like a financial help guru, perhaps, we might say. And a lot of times in meetings, I've heard the leaders share, I really have done well in DA, and then I also started, you know, attending seminars of this, that, or the other person who helps people with finances. And in fact, I, you know, am the facilitator of these types of seminars. And generally what I've heard, even if it's the speaker, and we don't want to be rude, because heaven forbid anybody in 12-step programs wants to be rude, especially in DA, someone will raise their hand and say, this really goes against Tradition 6. Because that, there is a, I think, a tacit support of that organization in mentioning it. Because someone later is going to say, even if you don't really mention the name of the organization or the person, they're going to say, oh, by the way, you mentioned this, that, or the other person. Who was that? And it's kind of like, I mean, it's like advocating for or selling a service. And that takes away from the primary purpose of our program. It diverts us from our primary purpose. I remember one time, probably 14, 15 years ago, when I was a speaker seeker for a meeting, and somebody said, oh, why don't you call this person? And, you know, he's really good. And I called that person, and as we chatted after a while, I realized that he was no longer attending DA meetings. And it felt to me like the tone of what he was saying was kind of drifting toward there are other really good ways to help with your finances. And although that certainly could be true, that there are other good ways to help, this was Debtors Anonymous. And we really need to keep those outside affiliations out. In the same way, we agree that any activity that should be construed as self-promotion or promotion of an outside event, such as giving out business cards, flyers, or brochures, could only be conducted at some distance from the room in which the group met. And a lot of times we'll hear in Debtors Anonymous, just because this program is about money, which is also directly related to occupations, people are generally very careful to say, this is the type of service I offer. Or, someone might say, oh, I've written a book and the name of it is blah, blah, blah. That's too easy for people then to say, oh, let me look into this. Let me try to purchase that. So we try to be very, very careful about what we say, and even if it evinces the slightest touch of promotion, we have to really stay away from that. At the end of this, of our writing in the 12 and 12 and 12, it says, Tradition 6 guides groups in being vigilant about issues of autonomy and outside influence. I like that word, vigilant. We maintain a vigil, which means that we very carefully observe to make sure that we are not consciously or unconsciously trying to take Debtors Anonymous in a direction that would be injurious for it. And I believe that's all I have to say today.
Thank you, Bill. That concludes the speaker portion of our call.